It's a very recognisable landmark, and I think it always was. You know, even as the old theatre that was a converted 1930s Odeon cinema, it still had, you know, its fly tower was still the second highest building in the city after Bell Harry and the Cathedral. But obviously now it is really recognisable. It's a very bold building and it's beautiful, and I think it's really settled in, become part of the Canterbury kind of skyline and the Canterbury mix, and it's beautiful. Highlights, the opening. Obviously the opening night was a huge highlight, and the culmination of a lot of work for a lot of people over nearly 10 years. And, you know, particularly for the councillors who took this huge risk to, you know, to decide to build this new theatre. So that was certainly one of the highlights. Ironically, I kind of think one of the highlights for me was when the building was, it was half built, and I kind of went inside and the architect sort of, they just put the acoustic ceiling in, which is this beautiful kind of undulating black and white ceiling. And he sort of said, here's the acoustic ceiling, look at that. And I was completely overwhelmed with emotion. It's finally happening. It suddenly was real. It was a moment, it just became real, and it was going to happen. And I think then every sort of achievement along the way, you know, the ambitions had been to get companies like Glyndebourne to come, and the National Theatre and the Royal Shakespeare Company, and then seeing them all come and then actually starting to work with the theatre, not just come for the performances, but actually, you know, working on the education and community programmes and being part of their sort of broader education programmes, that's magnificent. And the Panto is always a highlight, and I think, you know, before I came to Canterbury, I didn't like Panto very much. I was completely won over by the Marlowe Panto. And in this theatre, the capabilities of this theatre kind of mixed with the innovation of the production company that make the Panto just make it one of the best in the country. It's just amazing. And I think for me, the highlight with the Panto is just seeing the people here. It's a bigger theatre, but it's more intimate, that main auditorium. And just sitting there and looking at how that audience across every sector of, you know, of society, they're all in their families and schools and just really enjoying themselves and being completely sort of at one with the players on the stage. And that's the essence of the Marlowe, I think. It's a theatre for the community, and you don't see it anywhere more than in the Panto.
A lot of money went into it. I'm sure a lot of people were a little bit apprehensive about how much was being spent. And I guess at the end of the day, it does come down to how much the theatre is kind of given back to the city, you know, as far as the audiences and the cash flow, etc. Is it paying its way?
The theatre really is paying its way. The old theatre used to have an economic impact in the local economy. Canterbury needs to get about 11 million a year. An economic impact is kind of the money the theatre generates, the money the audience spends. You know, when they come and they go to bars and cafes, they spend money in car parks, they get childcare, taxis, but also the money the theatre spends directly. So the local companies that they use. The economic impact this year for the Marlowe Theatre will be almost 35 million, and over the 5 years since it's opened will be around 150 million. So that's three times what the old theatre would have been in terms of how it contributes to our local economy, which is a business. You know, setting all the cultural stuff aside just as a business is really phenomenal, and more than we'd predicted.